back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 175. It's the Bubba and the Bloomies, the first annual Fantasy Baseball 2024 awards from Bubba and the Bloom. The Bubba and the Bloomies, it's going to be fun, a little twist. It'll have kind of a way of your normal awards, but with the Bubba and the Bloom effect to it. Let's put it that way. Lots of nominees. We'll make an award winner. If you're in the chat, you can help us with the winner. Otherwise, we'll take care of that ourselves. And we'll have some fun with that and much more. Before we get to that, you can follow me on Twitter at BDentric, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ. Ryan Bloomfield, how we doing, my friend?
Disappointed. Uh-oh. Disappointed in myself for not following the dress code. As I look at you here, Bubba, for the podcast listeners, Bubba's in full tuxedo for this first annual Bubba and the Bloomies, and I'm sitting here in a hoodie with like my kids throwing up milk on it. So we're in two different levels here. Hopefully the content will even out, but I'm very impressed with your attire tonight, my friend.
Thank you. When this idea came to fruition a week ago, I went straight to Amazon, got that stuff done. Tuxedo t-shirt, you know, it's what every man should have in their closet at some point in time in their life, I guess. Just took me 40 years to figure out. Yeah. But yeah, it's fun. I wanted to be for the special occasion. I always joke, I'm the entertainment of the show. Ryan's the brain. So here you go. This is what I bring to this this ensemble. But it's going to be fun. It's a good concept that our buddy Andy Splinter threw us in a DM. So we'll listener of the show and heck of a fantasy player. So we'll have some fun going through. We have 11 or 12 awards to give out tonight, which will be fun. And I know these players will be beyond flattered because it's better than any award they're going to get throughout the season to get a bloomy, is what we'll call them. So it's probably some Canadian or Australian term, but we're going to take it for tonight. Before we get to that, Ryan, big news. Huge news, some might say. Huge news. What do we got coming up? Special announcement that finally came to fruition a day or two ago.
Yeah, Friday Night Lights. We are stoked, and I was a little bit worried about this, but we are stoked to have the Friday night slot at First Pitch Arizona. We'll be the Friday night podcast, I think from 9 to 10:15 on November 1st. We're both flying in that morning, so hope we both get either some sleep the night before on Halloween or on the plane or whatever. But yeah, we're going to be the Friday night show. Cannot wait. We are very appreciative of, and I speak for you, especially for you, appreciative of Brent Hershey for giving us that slot. And the reason I say especially for you, for anyone who did not listen to the last episode, Bubba thought he was bashing me for a Brandon Drury baseball forecaster profile box, and it turned out to be Brent's. The day before time slots were announced for the live show at First Pitch Arizona, but thankfully Brent didn't listen to the episode before giving out the slot, so we're very appreciative of Brent and Ray, who are putting on the event, but giving us that Friday night slot. We have some plans for the show already. We were talking about that before we started, and it's going to be a hell of a time. I cannot wait.
Yep. Every year is a blast. Usually interactive. We give out some stuff, have an absolute blast doing that. Also, we have golf on Sunday, and we have a couple more guys have joined the party. So we are three golfers away from five foursomes. If you'd like to golf on Sunday, that's and there's a little tea prize if you join, that's getting taken care of as well. So come join the Bubba and the Bloom Invitational, year three of that.
Bubba, you not only do you have this tuxedo on, you worked your connections at the golf shop earlier to give our Bubba and the Bloom Invitational folks a special prize. But yeah, we're up to 17, so we need three more to make five foursomes. So if anyone's out there, I know you're not, but if anyone's out there, since we pubbed this for a while, we need those last few, so I know it'll fill. But we are at a record number of golfers for the Bubble and the Bloom Invitational. So that's also pretty cool to announce.
Yep. Lots of fun stuff coming our way. We got Scott Burks in the chat here saying he's really looking forward to this episode. He'll be golfing with us. Alan De Laurentiis in the chat here looking forward to being there in person at the First Pitch. We look forward to that. Roger Bloomfield, Ryan, he wants to know, what's the dress code for the live podcast at FPAS?
Hey, as long as it's not shirtless, that's okay.
Well, you need pants too. Keep the pants too.
And yes, yeah, please.
Let me clarify. Pants too.
We want to be we want to be back for First Pitch Arizona 2025. So we'll say business casual. Say business casual.
Yes, yes. And then Michael C has a fun one here. I won't be there, but a bunch of B&B fans showing up to the live show in tuxedo t-shirts would be fun. That would be hilarious.
Like, I still can't believe what you're wearing right now. This is ridiculous. Again, anyone listening to the podcast, just real quick, check out the YouTube, and it's a sight to behold here.
I told Ryan the second we figured out our schedule, I said, okay, I'll have a surprise for us, and here we go. So I wish we were recording when he first saw it. That's all I have to say. All right. Enough of all of that. Let's get to it. Friday Night Lights. Shout out to Andy. It's awards time. Bubba and the Bloomies. We're going to go one by one. We each have a handful of nominees, some may say. We can talk about them for a bit, and then we'll narrow it down. If you're in the chat, you're more than welcome to voice your opinion. It might help sway us or lock in a winner. Otherwise, we will deem who we think appropriate for this award. And we're going to start off with the Gomber. And for those that don't know, Austin Gomber a few years ago was a very popular two-step stream that blew up in everyone's face. So it is officially known as the Gomber. Now, that's happened many more times since then, and there's many of them this year, which makes it a fun discussion point. And we some people gave some nominations on Twitter. We'll get to all those at the end just for fun. But Ryan, let's go over your nomination or nominations. Who was your Gomber of the Year?
So the Gomber of the Year, and in the effort of the award, it's a streamer who, and we all know the streaming waters can be wavy. It's a streamer who you picked up, looked pretty good on paper, streamer you picked up, and it just went completely belly up. That was the Gomber. It was a two-step at home. I think against the Giants was one of the two, and I forget the other one, but my nominee for the
2020. I don't think they were at home either. They were on the road. The fact he was out of
pool, you're right,
made it even, yes, more attractive.
You're right. Yes. You are that. Yes, correct. That is correct. My 2024 nominee for the Gomber is Reed Detmers. And I know it, maybe it's recency bias at play, but Reed Detmers, who was sent down, looked great in AAA, was probably picked up. You know, we had talked about him a week or two before this Gomber week crept in, but Reed Detmers had a two-step at home against the White Sox, who were historically bad, especially against left-handed pitching this season. And then the second part of the two-step was at the Houston Astros. Reed Detmers gave up 7 earned runs in each, and this was September 16th, September 21st. So this was probably, if you're still streaming at that point, you know, you're probably in contention or close to contention, and your Reed Detmers call just absolutely blew up in your face. So I think the obvious answer here is Reed Detmers. The parallels are just too good. It was a two-step, it's a fab pickup, and it just completely blew up in your face.
That is a very, very, very good nomination. My nomination, and probably not going to be the winner, is Albert Suarez, and this is a very personal one for myself and others. That's why I had to mention this. Albert Suarez was filthy. It was no runs, no runs, no runs, two runs, two runs. The last two runs came out 7 innings in Colorado, Coors Field. Before that, Houston, Boston. Like, he was pitching against some kind of formidable competition. Then he gets a two-step at home against the Chicago White Sox and then at the Boston Red Sox. Red Sox start went okay. I'll give them that much. You know, 6 innings, 1 run. But that was after the Gomber that took place. Albert Suarez at home against the White Sox allowed 6 runs in 4 1/3 innings, and to top it off, only had 2 strikeouts. At least Detmers had 6 strikeouts when he got destroyed. Albert Suarez did nothing to benefit your team whatsoever. And just for a caveat on top of that, to make it more entertaining, is he faced the Giants the following week, whatever. Then he had a two-step against Detroit and Minnesota where he allowed 6 runs over 11 innings with 10 strikeouts. Suarez, if you trusted him in multiple good two-steps down the stretch, crushed you after looking like a fantasy streaming machine for like a month. He was very, very solid for a month, whereas Detmers, it was like the rocky numbers in AAA, gets called up, Dodgers, Twins, throws great, gets blown up by the White Sox and the Astros. So both horrible. There's no sugarcoating that at all. I just had to mention Albert Suarez because he absolutely crippled myself, Ben Ted, and others with his great matchups as well. And the worst part is, like, at least Detmer's got your strikeouts. Like, even Detmer's last start against Texas, 4 runs, 12 strikeouts. That's the ultimate Detmer's experience right there. Yeah. Suarez can't even get your strikeouts. So I wanted to nominate Suarez. I'll just get ahead of this. I think Detmers is the winner. Would you oppose to this?
I do not oppose. Detmers is the Bubba and the Bloomy award winner for the Gomber and probably the namesake for 2025.
That is fair. All right. Our next award, it's a phrase we've used on this show almost probably from the beginning, Ryan. The Gene Segura Award kind of goes to the guy where you just don't check the stats. You assume he's putting up numbers, and then all of a sudden you look at his numbers and you go, oh, no, what was I doing? I'll let you elaborate on that. But who is your nomination for the Gene Segura Award this year?
That's pretty much it. Any listeners, any routine listeners of the show who have followed along, it's exactly that. This kind of set and forget guy. You think, yeah, every Monday, whatever, every fab, they're definitely not a drop, but every Monday you see their name, they're playing every single day, they're in there. I was split between two guys, and maybe we'll give some honorable mentions after this, but I'm going to go JT Realmuto, the true spirit of the Segura Award is more like a mid-round guy because they kind of fly under the radar and how bad they are. Realmuto was a little bit more of an early round pick, so you get a little bit more pub about how bad he's been. But JT Realmuto, you drafted him for the steals, or you kind of drafted him for the all-around production, but steals were a huge part of that component. And my man just had 2 stolen bases, 14 home runs, and 413 plate appearances. That's legitimately pretty bad for someone who was a top 5-6 round pick who didn't really do much for you. And I think worst case too, like especially if you're in 2 catcher leagues, you look at Realmuto, there's never a doubt in your mind. You're never cutting the guy. You're never doing fab to replace him. It's hard to even bench him because by benching Realmuto, you have 3 catchers and that's kind of a no-no in leagues where you have tight bench spots. So Realmuto for me is somebody who you thought was a set and forget guy, early middle round pick who just pretty much did nothing for you most of the season.
All right. Do you have any more? Cause I'll give one of mine. We can go back and forth or if, I'll take this one. We can discuss.
Yeah,
more.
Go ahead. I don't want to take yours. I got 2 other honorable.
I have 3 on my list as well. And, a couple of mine aren't so much mid round picks, but they're early round picks that still might've hurt you if you left them in there all season. Let's put it that way. First one I'm going to go with is Luis Robert Jr. Okay. This is a guy that everyone drafted early thinking is 30-30. He's going to hit for a decent average, all this good stuff. Well, what Lou Bob did for you is he hit 224 with 14 home runs, 23 steals, but it gets worse. He only scored 47 runs, and wait, it gets worse. He only drove in 35 runs this year. Luis Robert had 35 RBIs. 35 RBIs. That is beyond dreadful for an early round pick. And I think any listener can, if you're listening, how many of you just left him in all year? Raise your hands. Mm-hmm. I know I benched him in and out, but most people probably just left him in. That's kind of how it went. You just expected him to bounce back, this, that, and the other. And that's kind of an angle of the Gene Segura Award. You just expected them to produce for you. And Luis Robert hurt your team in a tremendous way. He did not help you at all. I'm not sure everybody would have dropped Luis Robert Jr., but you definitely probably had him at least on your bench or something. So I'm going to mention Luis Robert Lou Bob as a Gene Segura finalist, as a guy that pretty much crushed your team potentially.
My 2 honorable mentions, Gleyber Torres and George Springer. Just 2 guys who played every single day. I know we have a comment, you know, Bo Bichette, question mark. The thing with Bichette is he was hurt. And like, once you get hurt, you're no longer playing, but like Gleyber Torres was active all year. George Springer, I believe, was active all year and just in your lineup every day. And yeah, it was rough. So those are my 2 honorable mentions. What have we covered every name that you have or
no? The 2 other 2 I'll mention, Royce Lewis. His second half was beyond horrible. Barely hit over 200 in the second half with no power. And I know I was guilty of never even considering benching Royce Lewis. So that's one of those just plug it in and go situations. The other one I will mention, I know we talked about this a lot on the show, and I eventually dropped this person, but I know not everybody did, and not everybody did until you realized it was probably too late, until he was platooned. Lane Thomas. Lane Thomas was a guy that you just left in and didn't even consider taking out of your lineup. With Washington, he was still pretty good. When he went to Cleveland, everyone's like, oh, better team, this, that. No, no, no. It got worse. It got much worse. Once he platooned, people started to take Lane Thomas out, but it might have been a little too late in that scenario as well. So I'll mention Royce Lewis and Lane Thomas as honorable mentions for that as well.
Royce Lewis is fascinating because it's someone who I haven't rostered, but you have this idea of, yes, you embrace the injury risk, but like, you know, when Royce Lewis is in the lineup, he's going to produce. Dude, 210, hit 210 in the second half, 6 home runs over 228 plate appearances. Like, that is bad. That is really bad. So,
all right. So we got JTR, Lou Bob, Royce, Lane. You had Glaber and George Springer. This is a good bat for the
conceivably have it like a team of that.
Group. Yeah, the all Gene Segura team. Yeah. Wow. So, who would you prefer to be the winner? I'll see who I have, and then we'll debate.
I will go. I'll stick with my guy. I'll stick with JTR. The thing with Lou Bob is he had 14 homers, 22 steals. He didn't not do nothing for you.
35 RBIs, 47 runs.
Trust me, was not good. Was not good, but at least did something. At least did something.
Yeah, but at least with JTR, when he was hurt, you didn't have him in your lineup.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
So I'm sticking with Lou Bob on this.
Split decision.
Do we have anybody in the chat? Can the chat decide Lou Bob or JTR? You got 10 seconds.
See, I assume like the Academy Awards, there's more than just like a group of two idiots. Yes,
there's
like
the Writers like, Association or something that does this. A committee of some sort. But all right. Well,
honestly, I probably think Gleyber Torres is the guy.
There we go. I'm fine with
it. He didn't get hurt. Like he was in the lineup every single day.
And he's more of a mid-round pick. So there you go. See, we swayed ourselves. The Gene Segura Award for 2024 goes to Gleyber Torres. I think that's very fair. Very, very fair. He even started to hit for average towards the end, but still did nothing else with it. So we'll go with Gleyber Torres.
Lou Bob missed pretty much.
He was on the IL a bit too.
Season. So it's tough. All right, yeah, we'll do Gleyber. I'm comfortable with that.
Gleyber's fair. All right. Best late round pitcher, starting pitcher, aka the Robbie Ray Award, the pitcher that won the robot, the overall championship, and did so much for so many people. And we always talk about, can we find that late round pitcher to be the guy that takes you over the hill into victory? Ryan, who is your nomination or nominations for the Robbie Ray Award?
There are many, many candidates, and we'll probably go back and forth on this one, but I'm going to go Seth Lugo. I'm going to go Seth Lugo, who
he was one of them. Yep.
Somehow, like, who did a 34-year-old pitcher who had spent most of his career either in the bullpen or in low innings seasons, through 206 innings this year of a 3 ERA, 109 whip, 181 strikeouts, and 16 wins. And you got that at all roughly around like a 270 ADP. I think that is absolutely massive. Seth Lugo is my pick, but there were plenty of others to consider.
There were plenty. Seth Lugo was one of my two, so I'm not going to add on to that. But let's just say I don't disagree with what you went with as well. For me, I will pull up the ADP before I get going on this, but I went Yusei Kikuchi, and he was ADP of 232. If you look at the end numbers, you see a 405 ERA. You only see 9 wins, but he did have 206 strikeouts, one of the top strikeout pitchers in all of baseball. And like, he didn't crush you at all, but just to top it off, if you stuck with Yusei Kikuchi, once he joined the Houston Astros, a 2.7 ERA, 5 of the 9 wins came in that 2-month stretch, and he still had 76 strikeouts over 60 innings. Like, he was an elite pitcher in the final 2 months of the season when you're trying to bring things home. So I think Kikuchi deserves at least some conversation in this. Like you mentioned, there are a ton of options in this conversation. In the chat here, we're seeing Ronaldo Lopez. We're seeing Ronel Blanco, almost mentioned him as well because he wasn't even drafted. Luis Eel was another one. But I'm going to throw Kikuchi out there. I had Seth Lugo on my list. The chat's got some good ones. Were there any other ones you wanted to discuss on the Robbie Ray Award?
I had I thought the Reynaldo Lopez call was really good in the chat. Ronel Blanco, even though technically if we're saying late round SP, like you said, Bubba, Reynaldo or Ronel Blanco was not drafted. And I think not even picked up until after he threw his no hitter. So you missed some of the excellent production from Ronel Blanco, who I dismissed all season. But this guy had 167 innings of a 2.80 ERA, 109 WHIP, 13 wins. Like, yep. And I still, we can get into the 2025 outlooks or whatever at a future point. I still don't know how he did that. But Ronel Blanco, I've got, and then yeah, Raylando Lopez and Jack Flaherty were my other considerations for the Robbie Ray Award.
Yeah, Jack Flaherty. I'm surprised I didn't come with more authority. I know we shifted things around in the final hours, but. For me, on this list that we're discussing, man, Ronaldo's a great one. That's a really, really good one. I'm going to go Raylo. Raylo would be my winner, but you can argue a different pitcher if you like.
I'd go Lugo. I mean, that's who I nominated. You didn't even nominate Raylo.
I had a long list. And it was mentioned in the chat.
There's right answer.
I'll go with Ronaldo Lopez. You're going to go with Seth Lugo. In the chat, we have two Ronaldo Lopez's and one Seth Lugo so far. I think we're going to go Ronaldo here. I think I might take the executive decision on this. Or do you want to stick your guns with Seth Lugo?
I'll give it to you.
Okay.
I'll give Ronaldo. It to you. Ronaldo, even though he did not pitch, so it was 100. I'm comparing their stat lines right now. 135 innings for Ronaldo. 206 for Lugo. But Lopez had a 199 ERA. More strikeouts per inning. You miss some time with Lopez. I think the biggest thing too, though, Lopez was like a true, like last rounder fab guy.
That's where my lean was.
Yeah, Lugo was picked 100 picks earlier than Ronaldo Lopez. So I'll concede that one. I like that.
Yeah,
you could end up with both, and that's
yes. The difference in ADP is kind of where I lean Ronaldo Lopez on this one. But
we'll do it.
I like Lugo a lot. Not going to disagree. Roger Bloomfield in the chat likes Lugo as well. I'm going to get double teamed by Bloomfields here in a minute, it seems like. But we'll go Ronaldo Lopez on this one, and Seth Lugo, very, very honorable mention on that one. All right, now we go to the bats. Best late round hitter, aka the Cedric Mullins Award. All right,
Ryan. A couple of years ago, Cedric Mullins Award. We'll clarify. A lot of these names of the awards are from a year.
real quick. Kevin Hastings in the chat. My dad is driving. This is his daughter. It's Lugo. I love it.
Flip it.
Okay, Seth Lugo's the winner. That does it. Between Roger Bloomfield and now we have Kevin Hastings and his daughter. Seth Lugo is the Robbie Ray Award winner for 2024. There you go.
Committee won't have a problem with it, trust me. They'll be fine with it.
All right, so best late-round hitter. This seems pretty easy, but I'm curious to see who you came up with. Who are some of your nominations for the Cedric Mullins Award?
It's tough to, in terms of like, there's so many names, but it's gotta be Brent Rooker. It's gotta be Brent Rooker. I do an annual tweet that every single year, I think 7 years in a row, there's been a player drafted outside the top 12 rounds in 15 teamers that has returned first round value. And Brent Rooker was that guy this year. So given Rooker's ADP, it was, I don't know, around 300, hit 293, 39 homers, 11 steals, which is crazy. I don't think there's any other there. I think there can be plenty of viable honorable mentions, but you're not going to persuade me over Brent Rooker.
Yeah. I'll cut to the chase here. It is Brent Rooker, but I'll mention some of my honorable mentions going past ADP 200 in OC's 12 team leagues. Jackson Merrill went past pick 200. Yep. That's pretty tremendous. Matt Chapman with his power, speed, and batting average. Zach Neto goes 2020, super late in drafts. So I wanted to mention those guys as well. But yeah, it's very, very, very difficult to not throw Brent Rooker the bone on this one. Did you have any honorable mentions as well?
I will throw Jerks and Profar.
Yep.
I'll throw Jerks and Profar out there, who was, again, kind of not even a late round pick, like almost a fab territory, but hit 280, 94 runs, played every day for San Diego, 85 RBI. Like, that's nuts to have 85.
All-star.
Yeah. 24 homers, 10 steals. I don't know how he did it, but he did it. And kudos to anyone who either drafted Jerickson Profar or picked him up late in fab. Jerickson Profar was absolutely up there. Profar was the number 27th overall hitter on the Fangraphs player rater, basically undrafted or very late round. So I'll throw him out there.
Just remember in our too early draft that we're doing, our DC that we're going to restart soon, Profar and Lugo have not been drafted yet in the first 11 rounds. So that's pretty impressive. Scott Burks mentions Brenton Doyle. That's a very good one as well. Yep. So yeah, there was a ton of late hitters. There was a good amount of pitchers, but there's a ton of late hitters that you could have some fun with if you struck gold in these drafts. All right. Some may say this is the most important award of the show. Some might disagree. I don't know, but it's only fitting that Bubba and the Bloom has a Catchers Matter award, basically for the best fantasy catcher of the season. In your mind, obviously, if you go by stats, it's pretty simple, folks. But you can go by maybe who had the best impact based on ADP, whatever your opinion is. I'll listen to everything because I listen to all things catchers. So, Ryan, who are your nominees for the Catchers Matter award?
I hate to take the top guy, but I do think it is William Contreras. Like, usually I want to take like somebody who is a late round pick, like most valuable, someone in fab or whatever who snuck up. But I think it's William Contreras was so far above the field and everything that I think it was so worth the third, fourth round price tag. Our friend, loyal listener, I'm not sure is in the chat tonight, but Michael Cicchini.
He is right there, Michael.
Oh, is he? He's right there. Okay. Yep. I'm on another tab, but he says, I'm quoting a tweet of his: 8 of the top 15 main event overall leaders had William Contreras, Adley Rutschman, or both. Revisited early catchers, but have to weigh the impacts of 650 plus productive plate appearances versus 400 mediocre ones at the position. I just think I think William Contreras was so far and away the best catcher that it kind of didn't matter where you drafted him. That was a huge part of, we talked about how our teams did. And my Spencer Strider, Michael Harris start, that team had, that finished second, had William Contreras fifth round, and that was a huge part of it.
You don't twist my arm. He was written down on my list as well. Big, big, big Willie fan over here, as most know. Roger Bloomfield says Buster Posey. In a different world, yes. Completely agree. But William Contreras is the nominee for me. I did write down a second one just to kind of have a conversation about catchers.
Will Smith?
No. That was almost on my Gene Segura award. For ADP of 279, Shea Bengaliers put together quite the season. Used to be very anti-Shea because of batting average, but he finished hitting 224, which you can live with when he hits 29 home runs, drives in 80 runs, and even stole four bags. Like, he was a really, really, really good catcher too, all things considered. He's a poor man's Cal Raleigh, given Cal hit 40 home runs this year, which was huge, and drove in 100 runs. But if Langoliers can keep hitting 220 to 230 and get you around 30 bombs, that's going to actually pay off pretty nice as a catcher too. So I just wanted to mention him because I did, going into the season, was kind of pretty anti Shea Langoliers because I was worried of a 200 batting average. You can live with the 224 and make things work in that. So I'll throw him as an honorable mention. But for me, I agree. It is William Contreras, the better Contreras brother, and the best catcher in baseball for the second straight season.
Real quick, trivia for you. Not trivia, but just a question for you. If we did midseason Bubba and the Bloomies, I think this would have been a slam dunk at catcher. Who would that have been?
At catcher. So that means it wouldn't have been William Contreras, is what you're telling me.
Halfway through the year, if we did it like All-Star break.
All-Star break, halfway through. Can you at least say AL or NL, just to make it quicker?
One of your guys.
It's Ryan Jeffers.
Yes.
Yeah. No, he was a monster. Like, trust me, people probably got annoyed with my tweets every time he had a home run. Then he went ice cold, then he platooned. So but he actually finished the year hitting again, which was kind of like frustrating. But yeah, Ryan Jeffers was a beast, was a monster, and goes to show you can draft catchers and stream your catcher too and see what happens and be very successful in the long run.
Kind of an interesting, like, double award winner potentially. Ryan Jeffers, most valuable catcher in the first half, and then a Gene Segura award in the second half. He probably held on to him for too long.
That is a double whammy. That is a double whammy indeed. All right. I think people, you know, they came for the catcher's talk. Now they're here to talk mascots. And that is the Luis Rengifo Award, the best multi-position player. T's and P's to the mascot. Great season. Looking forward to 2025, our friend, with fewer positions most likely. But we're looking forward to seeing what you have to bring to the table for Bubba and the Bloom. But for this year, Ryan, who was your top multi-position player? Because there was actually a lot of them when I started scrolling through multi-position eligible players on NFPC.
There were a lot. And actually, just real quick, our guy Rengifo, eligible at second and third only next year. So loses shortstop, loses outfield. So a speedy recovery, but also not quite as flexible next season. My thinking with this pick, with this award, is I wasn't just going for multi-position eligibility. I was going for like four positions.
Oh, so you went deep. You went deep in the streets. Okay.
So I went with Spencer Steer. Okay. Who is first base, third base, outfield, and potentially second base, depending on your league format, eligible. So to be able to have corner, middle, outfield eligibility and do what Spencer Steer did this year, which is 20 homers, 25 steals. Yes, he only hit .225, but at 92 RBI, 74 runs. To be able to do that from three to four different positions is just such a big deal. And I think he was more productive than, I hate to say it, than the mascot. Spencer Steer is one of my L's, but also the winner of the Luis Rengifo Award for 2024 for me.
That's his nominee, not his winner. That's the nominee for the award, because I'm going to fight you on this one. Steer's good. Steer went a lot earlier than this person. This person, this player, third base, second base, and shortstop eligible. ADP of 353. Jose Caballero.
Okay.
Hit 227. Okay. That part stings, but nine homers,
yep,
44 stolen bases, and 53 runs scored. We always talk in draft season that you can try to find steals on the waiver wire. This was the guy. If you could handle the batting average, which not everybody can, but to be able to either draft with your last pick or pick up on the waiver wire 40 plus stolen bases, there's not many guys that do that every year. He threw in nine home runs, scored over 50 runs. Like I said, this was a very, very productive ball player late in the drafts, waiver wire, and played all over the infield, which was also very nice as the season went on. If you listen to many of our shows, you're always looking for middle infield help, or you're looking for corner infield help. Jose Caballero produced that. And I know Ryan liked Jose Caballero on a lot of fab weeks as well. So I'm going to throw him out there as my best multi-position player, because to me, he kind of grabs the Luis Rengifo aura of what I'm looking for, of a guy that kind of under the radar that produces. So I go Jose Caballero as Luis Rengifo Award.
I'm good with that. I'm good with that. That is a little bit more along the lines of Rengifo. Like Spencer Steer did go, I don't want to say early, but middle rounds, and Caballero, yeah, to get those 44 bags. Yeah, I don't know when he picked up third base eligibility. That was an in-season add. That's one of the tough things with some of these things. Yeah, is like, so Caballero was only second and short, which is nice, but that's still only middle infield. But he did pick up third base at some point. But yeah, I'll give you Caballero. I had Jose Caballero written down along with, as an honorable mention, along with, I'll throw two other names out there, Siden Rafaela and Josh H. Smith, who was just eligible everywhere and played and was productive.
That's a really good one.
Yeah, nothing crazy, but was just like, had him in tout wars, and it was just such a like luxury to be able to put him somewhere and pick up somebody at pretty much any spot. But I'm good with Caballero as this year's Luis Rengifo. Not we're not saying he's going to be the mascot.
No, he's not the mascot.
But he wins the award.
We need to work on the mascot. He is not the mascot. Let's be very clear about that one. All right, this one's fun. Ryan came up with this name, and it makes so much sense. The Nick Pavetta Award. And you guys might go, what is the Nick Pavetta? Why? Why?
Hey, anyone who's had Nick Pavetta knows. Come on.
The reason why is the preface is this is a starting pitcher with great skills, but the results just don't add up. Ryan, if you want to elaborate on that, the floor is yours. But I think that's a great title for the concept of this award.
No, that's exactly it. It's someone you look at like the K to walk. You look at all the, you know, all the crap that we look at. And Nick Pavetta always jumps off the page. And Nick Pavetta continuously does not meet those expectations. So that was the thinking behind this category. For me, it's another Nick who I'm nominating. It's going to be Nick Lodolo for a couple reasons. Not only this season did he have a 4.76 ERA with a really good strikeout to walk. This is 2 years in a row for Nick Lodolo. I know 2023 only pitched like 34 innings, but last year Nick Lodolo had a 6.29 ERA and over a 20% K to walk, which is like one of those kind of gold standards in terms of skills. So not only for 2024, but like Nick Lodolo unfortunately as a career path so far is trending into that Nick Pavetta category, where I always look at this guy, look at his skills, look at the swinging strike rate, the first pitch strike rate, the ball rate, K-minus walk. It's all there for Nick Lodolo. The results have not been there for 2 years in a row now. So Nick Lodolo is my nominee for the 2024 Nick Pavetta Award.
That's a very good one. Didn't finish the year, so that kind of a bummer, but yes, a good one. Mine's a guy that we've talked about so much on this show that I pumped him up nearly every Fab podcast, and that is DJ Hurs. This is a guy couldn't wrap my head around it, how it was not working. Finished the year with a 4.16 ERA, a 3.77 Sierra, 3.85 XFIP. Those are all very, very serviceable numbers. The K to walk down to 18.3, but early in the year was a very, very strong K to walk, but still a very good overall skill. So 18.3% K to walk. Look at the Sierra, and it's like all great stuff from a young pitcher. Just never really put it together consistently, but like he finished one run, run, seven runs, one run, run, zero, four, zero. He had good starts, but not great starts. Never had the full shebang that looks like he's got the skills of a future, like solid second or third starter in a rotation. Just never completely put it together. Maybe that's the recipe we're looking for next year. Like this is the guy to keep on our radar. But I'm going to nominate DJ Hurs for the Nick Pavetta Award because the skills always looked really, really good. Just could never fully put it together.
Any honorable mentions? I've got Brandon Pfaadt as an honorable mention, who kind of quietly, we both really liked him. Had like a 4.76 ERA, which is really bad. Skills were somewhat better than that.
Yeah, that's fine. So who would you like to go here? Lodolo, Pfaadt, or DJ Hurs?
Lodolo. Because Hurs, you didn't draft. I mean, you didn't have high expectations coming in. Pavetta, it's like you actually drafted him as like a, most seasons you draft Pavetta as like an SP3, SP4, whatever. And he just continually disappoints. I feel like Lodolo is more in that category than Hurs.
Okay, Nick Lodolo it is. That's fine. Nick Lodolo it is. All right, next award. The early starting pitcher who destroyed your ratios, the Trevor Rogers Award. This is near and dear to Ryan's heart here. So what are you thinking on this one, Ryan? Who's your nominee?
Yeah, and again, the categories for these awards are usually from previous seasons. So just to give some context of why this is called the Trevor Rogers Award, it's because I drafted Trevor Rogers pretty much everywhere entering the 2022 season. This is someone in his rookie year had a 2.64 ERA, more Ks than innings pitched, looked really good. Skills looked awesome. I drafted him in 2022 as I think my SP1, SP2, 5.47 ERA, 1.50 whip. And it really hasn't gotten that much better from there for Trevor Rogers. So I feel pretty strongly about this, the namesake for this award. I could have gone many different ways. I'll start with an honorable mention just because he was my guy. Pablo Lopez for a half season was Trevor Rogers. This is a guy in the first half who was just terrible. And yes, it finally turned around in the second half for Pablo Lopez. But for a while there, it was looking like Trevor Rogers all over again. I'm going to go Jordan Montgomery. going to go Jordan Montgomery. He wasn't drafted as high as like a Trevor Rodgers entering 2022. It was probably your SP. And it depended when you drafted, because Montgomery was a free agent for much. And maybe this is why he was so bad. But for much of draft season, Montgomery was a free agent. But anytime you have 117 innings of a 6.23 ERA and a 1.65 whip, I think that absolutely enters Trevor Rodgers territory. So Jordan Montgomery is my guy, even though he wasn't picked super early. God, if you started him for even half the season, you got nailed.
Yeah, no, he crushed you. He crushed you. That makes mine not even that important anymore.
What'd I do?
Yours is good, but like I was going off of Bailey Ober finished the year great. Bailey Ober really, really had a great finish to the season. There's no sugarcoating that one. But to start the year, Ober gave you 8 earned runs in an inning and a third against the Royals.
Yep.
By the end of May, over the first 2 months of the season, through 11 starts, Bailey Ober had a 4.89 ERA. 4.89 ERA over the first 11 starts of the season. Now you'll look and you'll see the 3.83 Sierra. That keeps you optimistic. You'll see a 19.8% K to walk. This kind of feels like Pablo Lopez a little bit, seeing the good signs. But if you took an early draft pick on Bailey Ober and you're walking away with a near 5 ERA through the first 11 starts of the year, some people got impatient with that, is all I'm going to say. Some people might have not been happy with that. And if you stuck it out, obviously he was much, much better the final 4 months of the season, and things worked out great for you. But if we're talking about an early draft pick that just nuked you, I'm going to go with Bailey Ober, because you had to pay at least a better draft pick. Let's say, like, let's just look. I got it right here. ADP for Bailey Ober in 12s. Bailey Ober had an ADP of 122. He was probably your SP2 or 3 on a lot of teams. And that crushed you out the gate there. So I'm going to go with Bailey Ober. It ended up fine, but he made you wear it for quite a while if you didn't stick with it.
And it's that ultimate, like, this doesn't matter because it's a long season. But while everyone's watching, season just started, you're fired up, and then he goes out. And, I mean, this is a Gomber Award nominee as well, Bailey Ober, with that first start. So I get it. A couple honorable mentions that I had. I know Burks in the chat here has nominated Bobby Miller for 2 awards in a row. Bobby Miller is one of my honorable mentions. The only thing with Bobby Miller, who, like, yes, the ratios were complete toast. It was some injury. Like, you probably didn't have Bobby. I think he only threw, what did he throw in the season? 80 innings. I would imagine a lot of those innings were not on your roster. So, I don't know. Bobby Miller's there just because of how early he was drafted and didn't do anything and torched you. I also had Justin Verlander as a Trevor Rodgers Award nominee, but Montgomery's my official nominee.
Montgomery's your official. I'm going to still stick with Bailey Ober because you had to pay for him. Where Montgomery, you might not have paid for it based on when you drafted. Can we get a tiebreaker in the chat between Montgomery and Bailey Ober? Those are the two finalists.
Because I think Montgomery. Ober was still decent.
You should have dropped Montgomery at some point. You should have kept rolling him out there.
I also should have dropped Trevor Rodgers 3 years ago.
I dropped Montgomery. I preached dropping Montgomery. I mean,
dude, Ober had 191 strikeouts, a 1 whip, 12 wins, and a 3.98 ERA. Like, that's not bad at all.
Yeah, but if people dropped him, not saying they did or they didn't.
Yeah.
15s, you wouldn't, but 12s and less, you could have. There's a world where that existed. Not saying you did. So we'll leave it open in the chat. We'll do the next award. We'll leave it open.
We've got a split decision here.
We need an answer. Montgomery or Ober?
Ober was early, good, dude. What the hell?
But you said the early SP. Early SP. Keywords. Yeah. Early SP is the award.
I know. I do hear you. I do
so, hear you. All right. Next award, while we wait for some help on that one, let's go with the Cue the Trumpets Award. The most valuable relief pitcher this season. Who do you got for this one, Ryan?
I think the obvious answer is Kirby Yates. I mean, this is someone who was not even drafted. Everyone, you know, thought it was going to be Leclerc in the Texas pen, and it wasn't. And Yates, I mean, the big thing with Fab with Yates is it was early on in the season. And if you got Yates that early, you held him all year and he was a shoo-in. 33 saves, a 1.17. That's the thing, the ratios, man. 1.17 ERA, 0.83 whip, 85 strikeouts. I don't think there's really another option. There's plenty of deserving candidates, but I think Kirby Yates runs away with this.
Yeah, that's probably the winner. I did want to mention Ryan Helsley, though. I think it's only fair to mention Helsley. He's the all-time Cardinals saves leader in a season now. ADP of 101 this season. Helsley picked up 49 saves, 79 strikeouts, and 66 and a third with a 2.04 ERA. Just pretty darn elite stuff from Ryan Helsley this season. Didn't want to completely ignore that, but I agree. I had Kirby Yates written down. I think Kirby Yates the winner. To be able to fab him, like, he's probably the best fab acquisition of the year, at least one of them, if you picked up Kirby Yates to get that many saves. So I'm with you. I think we'll make this one short and sweet. Kirby Yates is your Cue the Trumpets award winner.
The nice thing about – go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, the nice thing about – continue if you want to talk about the subject.
No, I was just going to say, Helsley was a great guy. And you didn't – I was going to say you had to pay up for Helsley, but kind of not really. Like, it was in that second, third tier of closers in draft season. So, 49 saves is ridiculous. Seven wins.
He was awesome. He was on one of my – I think he was on my OC winning team. So, he was
I had Kyle Finnegan, Robert Suarez, Jason Foley as honorable mentions, and a half season of – Trevor McGill, who was pretty cheap and was very, very good until Devin Williams came back. So there's a few other closers who tickled my fancy. But, yeah, it's Kirby Yates.
All righty. Okay, Trevor Rogers, we got a vote for Jomo for Scott Burks. So we'll go Jordan Montgomery for the Trevor Rogers Award.
Checks in the mail, Burks.
We could agree to disagree on that one. Hope you guys enjoy your next Oregon game together. The Julian State.
Hey, we have a quorum. Michael, here.
There we go. Come on. You got it.
Burks is only semi trustworthy. Cicchini, spot on. So
there you go.
Confirmation.
All right, this one's fun. The Julian Merriweather Award, biggest fab bust of the season. I think this is going to be good because there's a few ways you can go about this. So, who is your biggest fab bust of the year?
I'm going to go because I think like some people may have been saving up for this and seeing it coming because he was suspended in draft season and everyone knew he would be coming back 2 or 3 months into the season. That's Noelvi Marte, who was just a massive, massive fab ad. And I took Marte and one of my 15 teamers, I think I spent 210 on him, which was actually low compared to where Marte was going in fab. The other thing, and hit 210. So I'll say the stat line. Noelvi Marte hit 210 in 242 plate appearances, 4 home runs and 9 steals. Did absolutely nothing for you. The thing with Marte, it was a mass. Everyone knew, like at least in the NFBC, if you didn't draft him, everyone knew when he was going to come back. He came back and then he was eligible in the free agent pool. And there was just a bidding war for Marte. And yeah. It did very little to nothing. So Marte is my nominee here.
That's fair. That's very fair. In the chat, Kevin Hastings says Jackson Holliday.
Yeah, that's a good one
as well.
Like, yep.
But I think I might have the winner. Just going to throw this one out there real quick. My honorable mention was John Means. Just wanted to throw Means out there because even Ryan was like, what are you talking about? Well, John Means went for over $200 in one of my OCs. Wanted to mention that. When he came back from the IL, he threw the 7 shutout innings with 8 Ks versus Cincinnati. Then he proceeded to make 3 more starts for a total of 14 and two-thirds innings with 8 strikeouts and 6 runs before ending his season again. So that was expensive. Not as expensive as this. Because you actually started this player probably for a while. Then it didn't go so well. And that is Victor Scott the second. Victor Scott went for Buco Bucks multiple times this year, actually. Buco Bucks the first time, went for more money the second time as well. So that was fun. But Victor Scott finished the year in 155 plate appearances, hitting 179 with 2 home runs. And God, he's so fast, so fast. He had 5 stolen bases through that whole period. Didn't even play every day. Pinch ran more often than he probably started. This was a big, big busto one here. And I think Victor Scott's the one that I would run away with.
Yeah, I'm good with that. And especially because the Victor Scott, like, if you drafted super late in draft season, he was drafted and skyrocketing up draft boards. But this is when, like, everyone had their full $100,000 fab money to spend, and they spent. So I'm good with Victor Scott as the award winner here. Just a cautionary tale of those kind of one-trick ponies, especially in Scott's case, who did not really have any major league track record to go off. Did you have any? Because I had a few honorable mentions here.
Yeah, I had John Means, but who else did you have?
Oh, yeah, that's right, Means.
There were a few. Like, I literally told you I went through my league's fabs just to see who the high-dollar ones were, and there were some that went well. Like, Jason Foley was one that everyone thought was crazy to spend money on at the time. That worked out well. There's some that did pan out. That does happen. That's why people take their chances. But, yeah, like Britton Allen says Ben Rice. That was a big one. Yankees Ben Rice
was one. That was tough.
Yeah.
That was tough because actually I fab Ben Rice in a few spots, a couple of our listener leagues as well. And like it honestly, it looked great for three weeks. He had the three homer game a couple weeks in, and which actually kind of made it worse because then you wanted to hold on to him and hold on to him and hold on to him. And he turned into a Gene Segura. So Ben Rice that's someone who I didn't think of. That's a really good shout out there by Britton. I'm going to go honorable mention that these three guys kind of all blend together, but Tyler Black, Jordan Beck, and Robert Gasser, especially Tyler Black and Jordan Beck. They were both, I think, called up the same week. And there was just this kind of prospect frenzy of fab bids. I want to say this was like late April, early May. Tons of money spent on both of those guys. Tyler Black, he was up for like 5 days. And then said, this is not the fault of Tyler Black. He didn't. This is all the Brewers. He barely even played. And so that was an extreme amount of fab money wasted. We have a Reese Hines.
That's a good one.
Suggestion in the chat. I like that one as well.
Yep, that is a good one as well. And that leads us to our last award. And this could be one that there's two winners on because it's technically bias in theory. And man, your dad's just throwing zingers at me today. Giants pitchers. He's not wrong, but if you listen to me, you didn't spend a lot of money on him. The final award,
Mason Black, right?
Yeah, Mason Black. The final award will be your fantasy all-star. So who is your personal, like, so it doesn't have to be the player that played the best. It could be the one that you picked up on the wire that helped you, whatever. There's a lot of ways to interpret. It could be the player that played the best. It could be Shohei Ohtani if that's who you had. I don't know. But who is your fantasy all-star? Basically, you can tell a story type thing of how this person impacted your team.
I could tell a story about this one. Could be the story of Samson.
Oh, he cut his hair. That's right.
Yeah, cut his hair. So I'm going to go. I'm going to go Sean Manaea.
Yes.
Who I took. In plenty of spots in like the 18th, 20th round. And honestly, it wasn't looking that great in the first half. Like, it was fine. 3.89 ERA, 76 strikeouts for Manaea. But Manaea in the second half was just unbelievable. And really felt the impact of taking him. So Sean Manaea is my personal fantasy all-star. A couple other honorable mentions, but I'll give you the floor.
Yeah, I like Manaea. I'm looking over my winning team right now to pick my fantasy all-star, and Manaea is towards the top of that list. But I'll pick someone else just to be different, because he would be there. But this will kind of be this is tough. There's some really good players on this team. I guess that's why I won.
Just your OC?
OC. Yeah, I'm just looking through that. What I'm going to call this is Down by the Bay. We're going to call this Down by the Bay. And these two young outfielders were kind of co-fantasy all-stars. And that's what Elliot Ramos and Lawrence Butler, as both being fab acquisitions that basically came close or did hit 20 home runs, stole a bunch of bags, drove in runs, hit for average, basically were nearly five category stars once you picked them up for the rest of the season. I'm not saying they're like elite fantasy players, but these are players you could pick up on fab and plug in and not look back. They could be Gene Segura guys if they ever failed you, but they never did. And that's what can make them good. So if I have to pick one, I guess I shouldn't give two. That's not the award. I'll give it to Lawrence Butler, because Lawrence Butler to put the icing on the cake was my first AL playing or AL West playing time tomorrow article cover boy, and to watch him basically get the promotion to lead off and start hitting and become a standard in the A's lineup against lefties and righties both and be a stud. I'll give this all-star to Lawrence Butler, and it's a fun one. This is a fun category because you could, like, I love the Mania call. I love Flaherty. Santander, if you liked Powell. Like, there's a million ways to go with this award. I'm going to go with Lawrence Butler as my fantasy all-star because he kind of came out of nowhere and helped get a lot of teams to the finish line or close to it. So Lawrence Butler for me.
I like it. We don't have to come to a consensus because this is
our awards. Yes.
Our own. Two others I'll throw out there. Going with your by the bay theme, Matt Chapman.
Yep.
Especially early in draft season when he was homeless. I guess he wasn't homeless, but he didn't have a team. Was super, super cheap and just went crazy on stolen bases and hit his homers. And then I guess I'm stealing this from you. It was your boy, now adopted, my boy. Shota Imanaga.
Yes.
Was just, I mean, to take him in like the, I don't know, 10th-ish round for Shota Imanaga to do what he did where he was going was definitely a boon for some of my squads. And that, again, that's why I listen to you every now and then. But not when you're in your tuxedo suit, but when you're in more formal attire. How can you take
this seriously? Like, come on. Yeah. Yeah. A couple things from the chat here to catch up. Michael C said Christian Scott was a huge. Yeah, I mentioned that before the show when I was talking with Ryan. I'm all Christian Scott call. Was right next to Victor Scott. They went in the same weeks, so that's a good one. Britton Allen for fantasy guys. Tyler Fitzgerald is an honorable mention. Yep, near 2020 dude. Scott Burke says Ronaldo Lopez, my first reserve pick in the one league I won. Britton Allen mentioned Michael Toglia and his 25 home runs off the wire. Yeah, because he became more than just a power. He actually started hitting for average and playing regularly. Like, he produced down the end. And Kevin Hayes, he's a slowdown, but Fitz was amazing for 4 weeks. So, yeah, there's some fun ones there for sure. Jackson Merrill, any draft before March is MVP worthy. Yep, that's another one.
Especially the before March part, because Jackson Merrill, we didn't even know. Like, it was kind of out of the blue that he was – like
going to start
just for the Korea series, then he just never looked back. And so especially when you compare Jackson Merrill to Jackson Holliday to Evan Carter to Wyatt Langford, awesome pick.
Yep, great pick. All right, I'm going to recap these right real quick for listeners here. The Gomber Award goes to Reed Detmers. The Gene Segura Award goes to Gleyber Torres. The Robbie Ray Award goes to Seth Lugo. Cedric Mullins Award goes to Brent Rooker. The Catchers Matter Award goes to William Contreras, obviously. The Luis Rengifo Award goes to Jose Caballero. Nick Pivetta Award goes to Nick Lodolo. The Trevor Rogers Award goes to Jordan Montgomery. The Cue the Trumpets Award, Kirby Yates. The Julian Merriweather Award goes to Victor Scott II. And our fantasy all-stars for Ryan was Sean Manaea, and for myself was the lawman, Lawrence Butler. So that was some pretty good stuff there. Pretty, pretty good stuff. Kevin Hastings is now home, so his daughter is reprieved from listening to us and getting tortured. So that's good.
Good.
Any final thoughts before I read some other Twitter comments on this situation?
No, man, just ready for the after party. I know at these award shows, there's all these fancy after parties, so we'll be heading out here shortly.
You know me. On Twitter, Britton Allen says, I nominate Oakland outfielder Brent Rooker for the Steal of the Draft Award. Yep, you nailed that one, Britton. That is a good one. Martin Sokolsky had a few. Gomber of the Year, Bailey Ober's first start. That is very fair. A close second was Albert Suarez. Yep, that is definitely a close second. Martin also said, Line of the Year, Bowden Francis against the Mets. 8 innings, 1 hit, 1 run, 1 earned, 1 homer, 1 walk, 1K, 111 pitches, 1-1-1-1-1. That's pretty impressive.
And a cool category I didn't think of, like, box score of the year, line of the year. I like that.
He said also Francis wins the Missed It by That Much Award for multiple no hitters lost in the ninth inning. That is true. And then Code Dumbasses of the Year, Anthony Rendon and the Astros medical team. Like that. I like that. I respect that one. Last but not least, the Lou Bob Underachiever Award to Lou Bob. Most Reckless Fab Bidding Award to Victor Scott II. So Martin came with it there. That's some really, really good stuff.
Yeah.
Backhanded Grab says Jose Caballero has to be on there for places I didn't think I'd get 40 plus steals. That is correct. Andy Splinter, who came up with this concept, said Reed Detmers starting against the White Sox is definitely my Gomber of the year. Ryan Roof says, yep, the Detmers two-step versus the White Sox and the Astros. So you guys are correct on that one. Steve Brunn says the only correct answer for Gomber of the year, game of the year, is, or Gomber of the year, is Detmers destruction. That is correct. ERA and WHIP 2 weeks before season ends, 7 1/3 innings with 14 runs. That is brutal. Our buddy Kevin Hastings, who's now back in the chat, says Drew Thorpe had 5 consecutive starts of six plus innings, and 2 earned runs or less when Seattle ambushed him for 8 earned runs in 2/3 of an inning. I remember that one. I thought it was a bad day in the variance of baseball, so I also ate the 6 earned the following week as my Royals on my main event team. I was Thorped.
Yeah, I had a similar, just real quick, I had a similar thing with Tyler Phillips. It was good for the first 3-4 starts and then faced Seattle on a Friday night, got just nuked. I want to say 8 or 9 earned runs. And I kept with him the following week. And yeah, I was Phillipsed and you were Thorped. It happened.
That's baseball in a nutshell. I was Suarezed. There's a lot of fun ones like that, but fun kind of going back here looking for some awards and see where it leads for a potential Bubba and the Bloomies 2025. But any final thoughts, Ryan, as we start positional reviews next week? We get back to serious stuff, folks, as we've had some fun to relax a bit, but we'll get back to digging in on 2024, getting ready for 2025 already. So any final thoughts here?
No, the only thought going through my head is where I need to order such a great tux for next year's award. I need to get a head start on that one.
I know a guy. I'll let you know.
Yeah, you vastly outperformed me in the fashion department tonight.
That doesn't happen very often in my world. Trust me, I haven't. I definitely dress like a dad. I don't wear New Balances all the time, but like Skechers and other things that are comfortable, because as you get older, comfort's more important than looks in my world. So that's how
is that thing comfortable?
That's so far. Yeah,
how are we feeling there? You good?
Yeah. Yeah, we're looking, feeling good. We'll see how it shrinks.
Breathable? But, is it shrink?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see how it shrinks. But yeah, we're good for now. So always fun. I hope you guys enjoy the entertainment on this show. We wanted to take a breather for a few episodes and still recap and talk fantasy, not just completely throw it out the window, but have some fun with it, of course. But again, anything else you'd like to add before we head out? We have the LCSs lined up. You want to make predictions? Who do you got between the Guardians and the Tigers?
I think I took the Guardians the first time around. I did pick the Tigers. So
you did do that. That was good. I guess since I don't have either of these teams here, I'll take the Tigers for fun. I'll take the Tigers. What about the Yankees and the Royals?
Yankees.
So we'll hopefully see a Yankees, and I have Tigers, you have Guardians. On the DS of the NL side, Phillies or Mets?
Real quick, both NL series are going to be absolutely awesome. Electric. Yes.
Both rivalries, both divisions, yes. Both right, like easy traveling distances. It's going to be nuts.
It's going to be absolutely crazy. Both of these series, my head says the Phillies, my heart says the Mets. I don't know which one wins.
Mets have all the mo. Let's put it that way. They got all the momentum.
Dude, I cannot believe. 2-0 lead, Devin Williams in the ninth.
99% of the time you figured, yes, you're like, okay, we're walking out. Walking out of this.
We have it.
I was watching with my buddies. I said, I don't care if it's Francisco Lindor, you never walk the leadoff hitter here. This never ends well. So I told guys, I didn't think it was going to end like that, but I was definitely more concerned. Let's put it that way. Yeah. I'm going to go Phillies because I have to. And everyone knows I'm going Padres over the Dodgers. Who do you like, Padres or Dodgers?
Go Friars.
Yes. So we have two phenomenal rivalries in the National League. Then we have the AL Central versus the Yankees. It's like, who would have picked in the preseason? Like, I saw Travis Sochek had a fun one. He said, were the White Sox really that bad, or is the AL Central that good? That's funny. It's funny.
Pretty good. It is pretty good.
The White Sox are that bad, but the AL Central is better than we thought.
Maybe both are true. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's fun stuff. But all right. We'll wrap it up there. Thanks for everybody hanging out in the chat. We appreciate you all as usual. We'll get back at it next week, Tuesday, Thursday, twice a week as normal. Again, if you want to golf in FPAS Sunday, let us know. We've got 3 spots left to have some fun there. But until next time, check out Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod. I'm at BD Intric. This was Bub in the Bloom, episode 175. Catch y'all next time.